First of all, I want to say thank you for agreeing to be interviewed for our Living Oral History project. And so I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And if you don't remember something, that's okay. Or if you need me to repeat something, that's okay. So we're going to start with part one, which is demographics and family history. Please say and spell your name.
Hortense Howard. H-O-R-T-E-N-S-E, Howard, H-O-W-A-R-D.
What is your date of birth, including the year?
April 25th, 1927.
You just had a birthday. A happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
How would you describe your race?
African-American.
What is your religion, if any?
Baptist.
What is the highest level of formal education you have completed?
I got an associate's at WCC and undergrad at Eastern.
So your additional schooling then was Eastern Michigan University?
Yes.
What is your marital status?
Widow.
How many children do you have?
One.
Male, female?
Male.
Male, okay. How many siblings do you have?
Well, I had 10, but two passed, and there are four of us living.
Are they in this area?
No, I have a sister in California and a sister in Lansing.
Okay. So what was your occupation when you were working?
Well, I did a lot of things. I babysat, janitor work at the time, and a salesperson. I worked at Jacobson's.
Okay. So you were in sales at Jacobson's?
Yes.
I used to shop there quite a bit. All right.
This is my
At what age did you retire?
Well, I didn't really retire because I had a daycare, and I just, continued to keep some of the children coming, going. So maybe 75 or later.
So tell me a little bit about the daycare.
Well, how it started, when I was going to Warsnaught Community College, I was going to major in library. But I met a teacher, and she was telling me about they were going to build a daycare, an addition to the school. I said, oh, gee, we're looking, because I had taken courses, not for daycare. So she said, I think you would do very well in that. So I had to change a lot of my courses, and I did. And I thought, I might like this. So I pursued it and got my own daycare in Ann Arbor here, right on Broadway.
Okay. I'm going to ask you more about that in a few minutes. So I'm going to go now to part two, memories of childhood and youth. What was your family like when you were a child?
Busy, because there were eight of us, eight girls and one boy. Two boys, but they both passed. Busy, disciplined. My mother was pretty strict. She had to be because she had eight girls. And it was fun. We had fun, how large families are, Disagreements, agreements, love, tears.
All of it, huh?
All of it. I'll just say all of it.
So there was a total of eight of you?
Eight of us.
Okay. Same as my mother. She had eight. It was eight of them, four boys and four girls. Yeah. What sort of work did your parents do?
Well, they were both cooks, but my father was a minister. So that's what they did. My mother cooked at a lot of the sororities here. And my dad also cooked, but he went to Chicago to study at Moody Bible Institute. And when he came back and forth, he also was a cook.
So tell me about your father. So did he pastor his own church, or and what denominations was that?
No, he didn't complete that. He didn't have a church. Just went to school, I don't think he completed it, but everybody knew my dad as Reverend Bacon.
What is your earliest memories when you were growing up? Some things that you remember right away when you were growing up.
Some of my memories
when you were little growing up. What are some of the earliest memories that you had?
Christmas was one of them, and my sisters were known. We were known as the Bacon Sisters. We sang. We used to sing a lot at the sorority houses here in Lansing, in the metropolitan areas. We were singers, so we sang a lot. And we visited, I had an auntie in Bloomington and an auntie in Lansing and Grand Rapids. So we would visit during the summer, you know, when school was out sometimes.
So if you were doing all that singing, you all must have been good.
Pardon me?
You must have been good if you were doing all that singing.
Yes, I wrote some songs, and Morris Lawrence recorded them for me.
Oh, wow. Very good. We'll have to hear those sometime. What other special days or events do you remember that your family did when you were growing up? And you mentioned Christmas. Were there other special events and days?
No, just the regular, you know, holidays. We didn't have any special days, extra special days.
So tell me how the day would go on Christmas. What kinds of things? How would you start your day, and how would that go for the entire Christmas?
Yes. Well, I remember we thought there was a Santa Claus for a long time. So some of the members of the church would come to the back door and leave presents and fruit. And the thing that I remembered was the smell of the fruit, the nuts and the fruit, you know, and they would bring the tree because, anyway, we would almost wait for Santa Claus to come to the back door.
You try to wait?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So it was interesting, you know, because we, for a long time, we thought that there was a very Santa Claus. So then we found out that it was one of the members from the church. And it was fun. And we made our own presents. We gave away things that we had made, you know. And
that's very special to make the gifts.
So yes.
So what are some of the types of gifts that you made?
Like little dolls, you know, little dolls, and we would make little doll beds. And what else did we make? Just little toys, like,
right.
you know, kid toys, and wrap them up in pretty bows, and wait to see what was in the bows.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what was in the gift.
Right.
But that was fun, you know, because we'd all wait and look and see.
Right.
Who got the biggest, who got the best. You know, our children are.
Right. So in terms of your siblings, where do you fall within the?
I'm the second.
The second?
I have a sister that's older, one sister that's older, and then I'm the second child.
All right. So you said you didn't have any family-created traditions, just a regular holidays, you had Christmas, Easter?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Just
Thanksgiving.
Easter was just, well, we would go and get our pieces from Sunday school and recite. That was exciting because we had to learn our pieces, but that was the extent of it. We didn't.
So you had to recite on Easter Sunday?
Yes.
So how did you do with that?
I did pretty well.
Okay.
I had to do pretty well.
I'm sure you did great. So we already talked about school. We talked about the fact that you had gone to WCC and then the Eastern.
Yes.
So tell me again what you studied at WCC and what you studied at Eastern.
Okay. At WCC, child psychology, psychology, music, oh gosh.
You know, I didn't name them all, but just some of them.
I got an associate's degree. And what else? Oh. Just a child care curriculum. But right now, I can't remember all of them.
That's fine. You don't have to do them all. Just generally. That's good. You did good. So during that time, were there sports and things or other activities that you could participate in outside of school?
Yes, there was a Dunbar Community Center across the street from where we lived on 4th Avenue. And we would have a date, to go and play ping pong and dance. And we had to pay 10 cents to dance.
That was a lot then.
And
huh?
it was very convenient for us because we lived right across the street from the Dunbar Center. Right there on the corner. Are you from Ann Arbor?
No, I've been here a long time, but I didn't grow up here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but my mother would be very watchful. how close can you be to a place?
But, so you lived directly across the street. Tell me the name of the street where you grew up. That was the street you were living on at that time.
502 North 4th Avenue.
Okay. In past interviews, we've talked about that area a lot and that was a predominantly black area. Was that the case when you were growing up?
Yes.
All right. And so in terms of the Dunbar Center, was that predominantly black youth that went to the Dunbar Center?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you like about the Dunbar Center?
I like Mr. Williams. He was the administrator there at the time. And Mrs. Williams was her name. He was interested in the youth. And so he would create programs for us to attend, like after school. But we had days to attend different activities and they would send some of us to camp, they had programs where, if a parent could not afford to, they would pay for some of the trips.
Some of the expenses.
But that was fun, because we looked forward to going to the Dunbar Center and singing.
Do you have any pictures at all from that time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have a whole thing of pictures.
So maybe we can look at some of those later.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't have them.
No, not what you mean later.
Oh yes,
not today.
I have a whole picture of all of the young women in Ann Arbor.
Oh wow.
That was taken at the Dunbar Center.
Oh, we definitely have to see that.
Beautiful, beautiful women.
Okay.
Girls.
Yeah, like yourself. Huh?
No, I don't know about that.
Okay, so I'd love to see that later. We're trying to put together a digital collection of pictures, so we'll follow back up with you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to move to another little area here. And I'm going to read. It's pretty long, but then I can repeat it. You lived during the era of segregation. And so can you speak about that? During that time when you were growing up and it was segregated, we just talked about the fact that you live in a predominantly black neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You went to Dunbar Center, which is predominantly, which is black. So talk to me a little bit about growing up during that time.
I don't remember anything special. I remember when President Roosevelt was elected. I remember Dwight Eisenhower. I remember hearing about them, you know. But I don't remember really any segregation because I don't think I knew too much about, you know, about even what it meant.
Okay.
You know.
But the fact that you were in a black neighborhood and went to Dunbar Center, so you didn't really have a chance to interact with many whites, if at all?
No, not even in school. We went to Jones School, which was a couple blocks up the street. We didn't have any problems with segregation. I didn't have mm-hmm. any problems with segregation mm-hmm. at Jones School. Mm-hmm. You know.
So that was going to be my next question. What elementary school did you attend? And so you attended, that was Jones?
Jones School.
Okay. And what about high school?
High school, I think high school was changed over, I'm trying to think, there's the street at high school. But I did attend high school also, and I graduated from high school. It was fun. I mean, you know, we all had to get up and go to school.
You didn't
and,
have a choice.
One thing I liked about the teachers, they were interested in the students then. If a child wasn't excelling, the teachers would come home, you know, come to your home and speak to your parents about, you know, what needed to be done.
Okay, so talk to me about your teachers. Did you have any black teachers, or are they mainly Caucasian, or what? Tell me about your teachers.
No, I had a math teacher, Mrs. White, Mrs. Everball, Mr. Maybe, and that's all I can remember.
But that's when you're doing good.
Because my math teacher was also my music teacher at Jones School.
All right. So were they African-American? I'm going between African-American and black. Well, what were they? Were they Caucasian?
Or? No. They were white.
They were white, okay.
All of my teachers were white.
So you didn't have any black teachers?
No.
Okay.
No.
So was that through your elementary, middle, and high school? You never had a black teacher?
Never had a black teacher.
Okay. All right.
No. Mrs. Willis... No, not a teacher.
Not a teacher.
Like in a school.
Right.
Like, no.
So in terms of people that worked in the school, did you have any blacks that were doing other types of jobs in the school?
Not.
Like cafeteria or?
No.
The whole staff was white?
Yes. At Jones School. Now, I don't know if there were any black, like custodians at the high schools, but no.
And sometimes custodians would work during the day, and sometimes they'd have some on in the evening. So
right.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about still talking about that era, and restaurants and eating places. Were you all able to go out and eat in restaurants?
Yes.
Okay. Were they black owned or?
There was one black-owned restaurant that I remember in Ann Arbor. As a matter of fact, the people that owned just passed recently, not last year, I think, Thomas Thompson, he had a barbecue place. But that's the only black business that I can recall.
Okay, and do you remember what street that was on?
5th Avenue.
Around that area.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, in that area. It was near Jones School. It was like As a matter of fact, it's right across the street from Jones School, because Carytown is there now. But
okay, so talk to me a little bit about that area, because other people we've interviewed, they've talked about that being predominantly Black businesses, and that's where they would go, you know, for whatever they needed. So talk to me about that, you know, not only the restaurant, but other business in that Carytown area when you were growing up.
Well, there actually wasn't any businesses in that area. The only area that I can recall was the barbecue business. Like, there weren't any restaurants or any, you know, stores that were owned or Black, by Black people, by African American.
We're doing both doing the same thing. No problem. So that apparently it came later, because some people talk about there being like a hair salon down there and,
there was, what was that lady's name? There was one business there on 4th Avenue where a lady did hair, you know, since you mentioned it.
Right.
Sadie. I'm glad you brought that up because I had forgotten.
No problem, yeah.
I've forgotten, yes, yes.
Okay. So in terms of the family.
Sadie Harmon.
Oh, you got a great memory.
It comes to me now.
So in terms of the family going out, restaurants and stuff like that, did you do any of that as a family? I know you mentioned the barbecue place. But in other interviews, people talked about as Blacks, there weren't restaurants they could really go and eat in. So do you recall that at all?
No. No, we didn't go out to any restaurants to eat.
And that was, too, because maybe a large family or?
Number one.
With eight kids, huh?
Since you're dragging eight kids to restaurants and they go down and trying to feed them when you're on a budget, too.
Right, right.
The budget.
Okay. So you, did you grow up here? Did you come here to Ann Arbor, or were you born here in Ann Arbor?
No, I was born in Bloomington, Illinois. Okay. And came to Ann Arbor, moved to Ann Arbor. Okay. And then I did a lot of traveling.
All right. So in terms of, so you went to school here, though, elementary, middle, and high school.
Yes.
So you've been here approximately how many years?
I was here until I graduated from high school.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to move on a little bit, and we're going to talk about adulthood, marriage, and family life. Okay? So this set of questions covers a fairly long period of your life, from the time you completed your education, entered the labor force, or started a family until all of your children left home and you and or your spouse retired. So we might be talking about a stretch of time spanning as much as 4 decades. So when I ask these questions, you can ask me to repeat. After you finished high school, where did you live?
I lived in Detroit. I left home and went to Detroit.
So talk about a little bit about that.
I wanted to sing like Sarah Vaughan, and there was a school in Detroit, you know, a music school. So I pursued that, and I stayed there for about 6 years. And I left there, and I went to New York, and I worked in New York on Wall Street, 120 Wall Street, down there by the boat area. And I did a lot of, I worked many places. I worked at Demery's while I was in Detroit. I worked at the Fairburn Hotel. I worked at Paradise. I was always busy working, doing something, because I wanted to do something. So
I want to hear more about this time in New York, but I'll come back to that in a second.
Okay.
So in Detroit, and you said you went to a vocal school or a music school?
In Detroit, there was a music school down there on Woodward, and I attended that for a while, but then it got to be expensive because it was so much per lesson. And then I stopped that. Then I worked at the Gotham Hotel, and that's where I met a lot of the celebrities, all of them. Billy Eckstein.
Who are some of the ones that you met?
Billy Eckstein, Joe Louis, Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington. Duke Ellington. Did I say Dinah Washington?
Yeah. Do you have pictures?
A
few. Go ahead, I interrupted.
Carol, what's her name? Carol, I forget her last name. I have a picture of her, but I don't have any pictures so far. Duke Ellington.
Okay. Wow. So.
And excuse me, and as I met them, because I also worked on the elevator, so I got to meet, that's where there was a Paradise Theater on Woodward. And that's where all the entertainers would come, and they would stay at the Gotham Hotel on Woodward. And I worked on the elevator and the switchboard at the Gotham Hotel, and that's how I got to meet them, because that's where they stayed when they entertained at the Paradise, which was on Woodward. Boy, you're bringing back memories in my mind. Bringing back things in my mind.
This is the whole idea of the interview. So... Now I want to talk a little bit about the elevator, because I know that at a point in time, there were people operated the elevators.
Yes.
So that was what you did.
Yes, and on the switchboard in the office there. I went from the elevator to the office on the switchboard.
All right, so now talk to me about New York. So how did you leave Detroit and end up in New York?
Well, when I got married, I left Detroit and I got married, and we moved, my husband and I moved to New York. Well, he had lived in New York, so he knew all about New York. I didn't. I left everything and moved to New York.
And followed him?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That didn't work out too well.
Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute. So what did you do in New York?
What did I do in New York? I worked on Wall Street. I said, I've got to do something. So I, found out how to get a job. And I said, let me pursue this. And it was... an opening on Wall Street, 120 Wall Street, the only color person that ever worked there. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of interviews and a lot of little tests that you had to take. And at that time, they were doing switchboards on the computer on the table, And I passed the test, and I got the job, and I worked on Wall Street on the switchboard down there by the... where the boats come in.
And so you're the only person of color?
Yes.
The whole time you were there?
I don't know why, how that happened, but it was like, here I'm in the office here, and this big glass, and in front of me were all the employees, and I had to, take their calls, and I was surprised that I even got the job. But I was determined to get the job, to get a job.
Well, they must have been impressed with you if they hired you.
yes. Now, I do have a picture of me at the switchboard in New York.
Okay. We need to see that, too. We'll see. I'll take a look at all those at some point. So, very, very interesting. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about married life. I'd like you to tell me a little bit about your married life and family life. First, tell me about your spouse. Where did you meet? Tell me what it was like when you were dating, and what were your engagement and wedding like?
No engagement.
No engagement?
No real wedding. What else did you ask me?
So I can repeat it. That's fine. First, tell me about your spouse. Tell me about how did you meet?
How we met. There was a family in Ann Arbor that knew my ex-husband, and they introduced me to him. That's how I met him. And he went, you know, he went into the service and all, and he came back. And I thought he was the same person that I met in Ann Arbor, but he wasn't. My marriage was not a very good marriage.
That happens.
It ended up in divorce.
But out of it, you got to New York, right? Out of that marriage, got your chance to go to New York, right?
It was, I don't know how to explain it. I was there in New York with him for a length of time. And then it got to be where I had to leave.
To make some changes.
Make some changes, I'll put it like that.
Okay, that's fine. We're gonna move to the rest of these here. So what are some of the personal favorite things that you like to do for fun?
Oh my goodness. I like to do a lot of things. I
like
to travel.
Tell us some of them.
For fun, I like to sing, I like to travel, I like to visit people in the hospital. I was the administrator, assistant at the church, sang in the choir at the church.
Now, which church is that again? Which church?
Oh, well, I was at the Methodist church and the Baptist church and the Methodist church.
Okay.
And I like to visit people in the hospitals. I used to visit people in the hospitals also.
And that's really good because sometimes after people have been in the hospital for a long period of time, people sort of don't really forget about them, but they get busy and they don't always go and visit, so that's good.
Right. I would always, if I knew someone, I would go to the hospital. But I got that from my mother because she used to visit everybody in the hospital.
Okay. That's good. So tell me a little bit about your traveling. Where have you traveled to, or where do you like to travel to?
Well, I traveled to Spain. I traveled to Sweden.
Did you travel alone?
Israel. Jamaica, the islands.
You covered a lot of territory. did you travel alone, or did you travel with a group, or how did you?
Well, I belong to the Women Aglow, and I would travel with them. And before that, I would travel with, there was a girl that I worked with, and she also liked to travel. So we traveled together a lot, too.
So of those places you named, did you have a favorite one that you traveled to?
Israel.
So talk to me about that.
Oh, wow. Awesome. You know, when you actually think that you might have walked where Jesus walked, and to just to see I mean, it's just this. It was just awesome. You just can't explain it. You know, I traveled there in 2003, and it's just a spiritual thing. You know, it's just something that you can't explain. You just see her. As a matter of fact, what I did when we were traveling with our tour, you know, there's mountains and openings. You know. And the group sort of went this way, and I saw this little cave-like thing, and I went inside of that, and I thought, I wonder if Jesus walked inside of there. You know, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? You know,
very spiritual experience.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had someone tell me they traveled there, and they talk about it the same way.
Oh. It's just awesome. And the food also.
Good.
They have food there that you never have seen before. You know, you just what's that? You know.
So everything was safe during that travel time.
Our tour guide was the best. His name was Israel.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
How big a group actually traveled?
Oh, let's see. Well, from each area, you know, the AGLO has a group on the east side or the west side, and you know, so it's a group like of 170 countries, and they pick, you know, people, different groups out of, and we travel together. So there was a lot of us on the plane together from different areas, like Livonia or Dearborn or Detroit or there was a lot of women from Africa that were there also.
A very diverse group then.
Yes, that's what I should say. Very diverse.
And so that was your favorite of all the places you traveled to?
That was the favorite place.
Great. Now, do you have any trip planned coming up?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet.
Okay. So I'm going to take us back. I'm going to leave there and go back to the United States. And I want you to think about growing up or even as your adult life, you can think of any kind of racial incident or prejudice that you experienced.
I never did. I never experienced any problems with
racism, either as a student or as an adult or working on that job where you were the only one?
No, I just never did.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, even if there are other nationalities, if you know how to introduce yourself, who you are, and you know, and be kind and understand that they might be different and say things different. You know, you just have to realize that it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference if you are, you know, like if you just don't want to just, you know, be there with that type of thing.
It's the way you interact and handle situations.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about work. You did talk about it for a bit, but I want you to tell me a little bit more about was it daycare? Mm. So give us a little bit more information about the daycare.
My daycare?
Your daycare.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was fun. It was really, you know, I didn't have any idea by being from a large family that I would want to work with children anymore because I took care of my sister, my baby sister, and my other sister. I had to do their hair, you know, help clean them up and everything. I thought, I'm out of here. I don't want to take care of it anymore.
We understand.
But my, and then, you know, after the teacher at the college, you know, she kept talking. She says, you know, it seems like you really like to work with children. Okay, so then I said, okay. So I pursued it. You know, you have to get your license, you have to do all that. And I did all that by myself after I realized that that's what I wanted to do. And I opened my own daycare. And I worked in my daycare for almost for 20 years. And I enjoyed it. And now I love children. And I mean, I'm more sensitive to children and even to, you know, and the parents. You know, you have to get used to the parents, too.
It's true.
But I enjoyed that very, very much.
So tell me the age range and what kind of activities you did with the students at your daycare.
At my daycare, the age is from babies to, I see the oldest one was, Rachel was four. She was four.
So you took babies.
Yes. It was also a drop-in. So, you know, if a parent wanted to go shopping or something like that and they just wanted to leave the baby there for just a short time, they would do it, you know, because my daycare was right across the street from, right down the street from the hospital, you know, the university hospital. So they would drop their babies out there sometimes, you know, for a couple of hours or 3 hours. But it was a great experience.
So for 20 years you did that?
Yes.
Almost. So now you had staff, you had people working with you, obviously, right?
Oh, yes.
So you had about how many people working with you on any given day? How many people did work with you on a daily basis?
Let's see, Carol McMillan, Mick, three.
Okay, so
Audrey Mulligan.
Okay, so the parents would bring the kids, the babies,
mm-hmm.
and for the older ones, what kind of activities did you do with them?
The older, well, we had, you know, different games that we had for them. We always had something for them to do. I'm trying to go back on it. We would take them for walks, and we would have like school things, you know, books and toys and puzzles and reading and, you know, the natural things that that they would do if they were in regular school age.
Okay.
And lunches, you know.
So you mentioned several different things that you did as a for career. And so what did you value most about what you did for a living?
Well, I guess when you come from a large family, you want to get out and do, you know. So I did a lot of things. I wanted to know within myself what I wanted to do. So I tried a lot of things. But I valued the fact that I went back to college when I was 43.
That's great.
With honors.
Congratulations.
And just, you know, doing things for other people, working in stores. But most of all, I think what I liked about myself is that I got in touch with myself. I got to know who, you know, that I mattered, you know. Coming from a large family, you don't know whether you really matter, or, you know, you do, but you don't.
You don't, right.
You know, so I thought, well, I'm here for something other than combing my sister's hair and clean up the house and doing dishes. So I said, well, I know, you know. And then I started to sing. I used to sing here in Ann Arbor on the campus this evening. But I was proud of myself, and I'm a composer. I write music, and I wrote poems. When I was going to WCC, I met Morris Lawrence.
Morris.
And I was just so attracted to him, you know, because it's music, you know. So I wrote some songs, and I thought, I'm wondering if he'll listen to the songs. So I got the nerve to ask him, you know, when I wrote these songs, I said, can you record these songs? You know, I went up to him. He says, why, sure. So he had a little recording studio up there on Main Street, and went up there, and he recorded my songs for me, and I was proud of that. I knew that that type of thing was inside of me, but I didn't know how to get it out at the particular time.
You were trying to get it out, huh?
I was trying to get it out because I just didn't. I had the confidence, but not with someone like him. You know. People loved him. People just adored him. He's a beautiful person. And right now, one of the groups that I belong to, Women Aglow, we meet there at the Washtenaw Community College every third Wednesday. Thursday of the month in the Morris Lawrence building.
You just meet to stay in touch, or is there a topic, or is there something you discuss, or you just meet to socialize?
No, the Aglow, it's a group of women that they're international, so we meet here. We meet at the college. You know, they come from different areas, you know, Southeast Michigan, Livonia, and
so once you get together, is it lunch, or is it a lunch and a speaker, or are you just socializing? What exactly are you doing?
We have a president and a vice president and RP and all that, and she invites speakers to come in to speak, and we have refreshments, and we have different people to come in and speak from different places.
Sounds very interesting.
It is. We have a great time.
A great time.
And we also meet at Brookdale. It's a nursing home here on Platt.
That's fine. So what do you do there?
We meet as a group, a GLOW group, and we speak to the people that are in the facility.
Okay.
And we pray for them, and we, you know, just, we're there for them. Say that, you know. And they enjoy us, you know, coming in and just, we're the game changers. That's what we do. They're there, you know.
That's great.
I hope I'm making myself clear.
Yeah,
everything's rattling through my mind here.
Yeah, you're doing great. So when thinking back on your working adult life, what important social or historical events were taking place at that time? And how did they personally affect you and your family? You mentioned earlier, you mentioned Roosevelt, and you mentioned Dwight D. Eisenhower. Were there other things that were happening historically that it impacted you personally or your family?
Pearl Harbor, I remember that very well. I don't know how it affected me. I guess I was too young, but I remember because in terms of Dwight Eisenhower, I remember something happened, and I wrote a, in my English class, I wrote a letter or something, you know, talking about it, but I don't really remember much about, you know, about it, except for the names. I remember Roosevelt very well because I remember them saying, he won, yeah, he won, you know. But in terms of the depth of what was really going on at that time, I just remember the names, but not really the incidents, you know, not really totally what was really going on in the...
Okay, what about during the Civil Rights Movement? What do you remember about that? Martin Luther King and some of the other leaders.
Oh, well, he was the most, the best. Very proud of him. Like we all are, you know, and too bad about the way he had to go, you know. But I think he took a great stand for what he believed in. And I think he left a great mark for us.
Did you ever have an opportunity to go to any of his, when he was speaking, or a chance to meet him at all?
No, just listening to him on the radio and watching him on the television.
Okay.
That's as far as it got.
Okay. So I'm going to continue with this line of thinking. Well, first, I guess I want to go back to family, because you mentioned earlier that you had one child.
Yes.
So you want to talk a little bit about that? Boy, girl?
Oh, a boy. And everybody knows Albert Howard. He's a singer. He was in the Desert Storm four, and he sang with them. And he's a great child. He's married now. He's got six boys and two girls.
So you got eight grandchildren, huh?
I have eight grandchildren. I love them all dearly. I was married 5 years before I had him. And so I was very proud of that.
Very happy when he arrived.
That he arrived, yes. Yeah. Yes, and if you would mention Albert Howard's name in Ann Arbor, everybody would know him.
I know him.
oh, you know him?
I do know him.
You know him? Okay.
So very good. Now tell me a little bit about your grandchildren.
My grandchildren?
Yes.
Let's see. My granddaughter graduated last year. She came, they live in California.
Oh, they're in California now.
They live in California. She came and lived with me, and she graduated from WCC, and she went back to California. And the other boys are there in college. I think they're almost out now. James, Paul, let's see, Paul James. But they're busy going to college. And
well, that was nice that she came and stayed with you for a couple years.
Yes.
And that went well?
It went very well. Very well.
So you probably miss her now, huh?
Yes, because she's only been gone 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes. She was anxious, you know, to get back home to see her brothers, her family. But we did go back. Let's see. We did go back. Something happened. Something came up that we went. She went back to visit her family, I think, while she was here once.
Once, okay.
So.
Okay, I We're going to go on to continue with historical, go back to historical social events. And I just thought about going back to ask you about your children or your child. Mm-hmm. When thinking back over your entire life, what are you most proud of?
That I lived to be 92 years old.
Are you 92?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Just April 25th.
It's the same birthday as a friend of mine.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yes. And that I pursued a purpose, you know. I just, as you live, you don't even think of how old you're getting. And I said, oh, gee whiz, I'm 50, 60. How did I get to be 75? How did I get to be 85? What happened? But I know it's the grace of God that carried me over all those times. But you just don't realize it until you start thinking, you know, you didn't do this. You know, it was the grace of God that carried you through. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud that I did. I'm sure that there's more for me to do, but I'm glad that I did something in my life, you know, that I can be proud of. I went back to college. I always wanted to do, I said, God has put me here to do something. And I'm still here. So I'm going to keep doing something.
That's good.
So that's what I've done. Mm-hmm. And I've got to take care of myself. I have my days like we all do.
Right.
But I basically realized just how great God is and that He has me here for a purpose. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And I've got a family. Mm-hmm. And,
that loves you?
That loves me. And I have mostly friends. I don't meet any enemies, or hardly. I'm a very friendly person.
My mom is 92 as well.
God bless her.
I'll tell her about this interview when I talk to her every day. So what would you say has changed the most from the time you were young to now?
Technology, number one. And I was just thinking about how, I was thinking about our youth, how they don't have a sense of value on seniors or life, or, you know, they don't have any, some of them just don't have good mentors. They don't come from homes where their parents are interested enough to teach them the way to go, because they're busy doing their thing. But I mean, as we see it now, you know, that's one of the reasons why. It's because maybe they just haven't been taught. And with all these, you know, life, they don't value life, and the drugs, and we didn't have any of that, you know, when I was coming up, and the disrespect for human life. You know, they don't really understand that they're here for a purpose. Some of them do, and some of them don't. But they're disrespectful for the elderly, and they don't set goals and purposes. You know, there's a lot of them do, and a lot of them don't. And they don't like to pursue. There's something that the reason why they're here is that there's something for them to do. There's a reason for them being here, but a lot of them don't think through. You know, they don't think that particular thing through.
And that leads right to my next question. What advice would you give to the younger generation?
To just set goals, and you know, they don't really know their purpose, but they should ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what am I here for? What can I do to make a better world? You know, I would be telling them to, you know, just to be obedient and be respectable and realize that there's something that they can do. There's always something that they can do better. And if they don't know, ask somebody, you know, and want to make this a better world, you know.
Good advice.
I would tell them, I said, you know, this is a beautiful world, and God has put you here for a reason. So try to find out that reason. Sure, you're going to make mistakes, and everybody does. But just think, I'm here for something, for a reason. I would be telling them that. Okay. And the most of them, to be obedient and respectable, you know.
Good advice.
To all mankind, you know, just learn how to be responsible.
Very good. So I have a couple more questions. One is, tell me your thoughts or initial thoughts when we elected our first African-American president.
When we first got...
when we elected him, what was your thoughts? How were you feeling about that?
How did I feel about it? I felt really great about it because I knew that there had... I don't think there had ever been another black president. No. I was as proud as most of us were by him, you know, becoming the first black president, mm-hmm. African-American president. Mm-hmm. And he stayed in there quite some time.
2 terms.
You know, and he was very well supported, you know, and it was a landmark.
Right. Okay. Now, I want to give you an opportunity to see if there's any final things that you want to share or final sayings that you want to leave us with before we wrap up the interview. Anything you want to share that you haven't shared, or some final remarks, or some saying you want to leave us with?
Well, I think it's thank you for asking me, number one. I was surprised.
And it's been my pleasure.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad that I wasn't as nervous as I thought I would be. First of all, I told you that.
So anything that you want to share that you didn't share, you want to leave us with, or you don't have to, but if you want, have something.
Well, no, I'm just glad, though, that I did come into the fact that I did have a purpose, and that I did know that God is real. And today is prayer day, prayer week, too.
Okay.
Also. And I think I've lived a pretty happy life. I've, you know, had my...
Moments.
Yes. But I think God has been good to me, and I'm happy about that.
That's great. So... I just want to say thank you on behalf of the African American Cultural and Historical Museum for doing this interview. And I really meant it when I said it's been my pleasure to do this interview. Well, so thank you very much.
And thank you for asking.